Remember, though, remember this, that John the Baptist's ministry was a ministry of repentance, was a ministry of preparing and opening the way of Jesus Christ. His ministry did not entail healing. His ministry did not entail deliverance. His ministry did not entail miracles. These were the things that Jesus was supposed to do. Hallelujah. Amen. So John, you've done everything just right. You've done exactly what you've been called to do. Now it's my turn. I've come to heal. I've come to save. I've come to deliver. I've come to raise up those things that are broken, those things that are held captive in people's lives.
Right. Yes.
Amen. So Jesus was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, the scripture said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it, life, more abundantly. More abundantly. Jesus told them that he was their only fulfillment. The prophecy and the preaching of John the Baptist had come full circle and to full fruition, that not only am I going to deliver, not only am I going to heal, but I'm going to give you life. What you thought was living was not living at all, because I'm going to give you life and more abundant life. It's not going to be just an average life, but it's going to be a life that's abundant. Morning. But that's what the Bible said. You see, the world promises all kinds of pleasures. And pleasures, they are, but they just don't last. For Hebrews speaks of Moses making a choice. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that sin is not pleasurable. The Bible even lets us know and indicates to us that it is pleasurable. But only for a little while. Because it brings brokenness. It brings destroyed homes. It brings hurt feelings. It brings all kinds of wounds. Emotionally, physically, spiritually. It wreaks havoc in one's life.
Yep.
Can I preach for a minute? Oh, Jesus. Yet we're living in a world that wants to make sin safe. You can go ahead and shoot up that heroin. Just use a clean needle because it's safe.
Yes.
Go ahead and have sex with whoever and however many you want, just as long as you use protection. It's a safe sin. What an oxymoron.
Yes.
Safe sin. Really? No such thing as a safe sin. Amen. There is pleasurable sin,
yes,
but it's only for a season. Yes. There is no safe sin.
Right.
I ain't going to hear that everywhere. I know. But I ain't going to sit up here and lie to you. I ain't gonna. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in just. I'm interested in making you feel good in the long run. Just making you feel good here for a few minutes. I want to challenge your life. I want you to get up and say, you know what? I need to up it with my relationship with God. I need to know more about who God is, because I'm sick of the way that I'm living. I'm sick of the way that I keep on fumbling and bumbling around and not getting anywhere in life. Man, I'm 30 years old. I'm 40 years old, and I still don't know what in the world's going on. God will put your life back on track. I say, God will help you put your life back on track. Oh yeah, he'll turn your life around. Amen. You see, we all have choices to make. Whether we're going to live for him or not, Paul admitted that there was pleasure in sin. No doubt there are some things that in this flesh we would rather do, or we'd like to do, But we know that if I do that, that's going to bring some pain later.
Yes.
That's going to bring some destroyed relationships of families, and the withdrawals are going to come, and this is going to come. But that's the society in which we live. They're reaching for something. There's so many even today, and I know this to be true because I've talked to so many, and they look at me and I say, I know you're wondering. I know what you're thinking right now. And they kind of look at me real skeptical. And I said, I know that you're wondering if what I'm telling you about Jesus is really real or not, because you've already tried this religion and that religion and this religion, and you've already tried all of these different things, and you've come up empty.
Yes.
And they kind of look at you like, I really want to agree, but I don't want you to know that I agree with you with everything. And then I say, you're looking at a preacher that hates religion. And that's when I get eyeballs about the biggest sausage, brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
What? I said, yeah, you're looking at a preacher that absolutely despises religion because it's never done anything for anyone but bring confusion and heartache and people questioning. Yeah. I don't think Jesus is really real. And that's why we have some going and saying, Jesus is real. That's a fable. That's just a good book that people like. Just go ahead and believe that. You can live in your fairy tale world. I'm not. But hold on a second. You see, it's not a fairy tale, because some of the things in that Bible have come true in my life.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a fairy tale, and there's gold at the end of the rainbow.
It's real.
Because there was a day when I was in sin and had so much shame and condemnation and guilt hanging over my head that I couldn't get rid of. But there was a day that Jesus became better in my life than anything else. He became better than the guilt. He became better than the fear. He became better than the condemnation. He became better than all of those things. When he filled me miraculously with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, things changed that day. It was a day that Jesus really did become better in my life. Man, I ain't never been in a church service where the preacher was acting so crazy and out of control. I'm going to tell you why I'm out of control. I feel like David right now. I said, I feel like David right now. When he looked at his wife and she was making fun of him for being crazy and worshiping, and he said, oh, you ain't done nothing yet, honey. I'll be more vile than this. And it wasn't vile in a negative, nasty, bad way. But he was saying, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. I'm just going to have in myself a grand time. Why? Because I understand what he's done for me. I was steeped in false religion, but he brought me out of some false religion for the man. And you ain't the same man that you were several years ago. Sister Patsy, you got your arms waving in here. You are not the same woman that you used to be. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Yeah, Brother Derek. You got any drugs on you? You got any goodbyes? You used to.
Absolutely.
It's been a while, though.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus is better. And you ain't used to. You ain't you what you used to be. You're no longer a dealer of drugs. You're a dealer of the gospel. I will tell you, Jesus is better. It's been years since he's ever had any alcohol in his body. It's been years since he's ever had any drugs in his system. Why? Because Jesus is better. I'm telling you, there's some people in here that can testify to you and say Jesus is better. But Jesus is better. these addictions that I can't shed off. And the reason that I'm doing them is because I've got some childhood wounds that bother me day and night. I've had some overwhelming disappointments in life. I've made some mistakes and have some sin that I just can't get forgiven. I'll tell you, the only person you're listening to is the enemy of your soul.
Right.
Amen. Because he came to bind up the broken heart. And he said it in that way so that we can know it's all inclusive. It's not exclusive, it's inclusive. Every bit of your brokenness, he wants to bind it up. You talk about somebody who can put a 1,000-piece puzzle together in just a moment. You say, my life's a mess. It's in 1,000 people. I'm telling you right now, he designed it to where he can put it back together. You know that you're forgiven?
Yes!
Well, I'm just ahead knowledge. I know. I know. And I may make a mistake tomorrow, but I know how to get it right. You see, somebody going to let it hang over their head. They're going to sit there in fear and guilt and condemnation. But I know Jesus. I know Jesus, and he's better. I can go to him and lay down that heavy load. I can lay down that guilt. I can lay down that shame. I can lay down that fear. And he said, man, I'm glad we got to meet today. Yeah, let me help you with that. See, all too often, the problem is not necessarily the problem.
Uh-huh.
See, we create our own little gods like money,
yeah,
drugs,
yes,
and alcohol,
yes,
sex,
yes,
and food,
yes,
success. Some of y'all didn't say yes on food. That's all we
have.
Figured about right about now, y'all getting pretty hungry.
Yeah.
You're working up an appetite, just jumping up and down and shouting and running the aisles. And
yeah.
All of you are just jumping and running and screaming and shouting and praising God. And everybody's just y'all are working up an appetite. Yeah, I'm hungry. I wish I'd just shut up and quit and go eat. Popularity, pride, all kinds of things.
Yes, come on.
Some of them are good.
Yeah.
I love you.
No. Right.
Money's okay.
Yeah.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
When it becomes your crutch, when it becomes everything that you're absorbed by, that you got to... right now that he even uses the term, I'm just chasing money. I'm just chasing money. He's 42 years old. Don't have family, and life's in shambles, a mess, and I'm just chasing money. And he's going to the best job, the next job that pays more. Why? Because he just wants to have more money. And I said, what's it doing for you? I paid my truck off. Paid my trailer off. I got jet skis. I got four wheels. I said, when do you get to ride your jet skis?
He goes,
I said, when was the last time? He goes, about a year and a half ago. Yeah, that jet ski that's paid off is doing you a lot of good. You got four wheels, you got all this stuff, and you still ain't happy. You gotta have more. Well, I'm trying to do this, yeah, you're just trying to do all this stuff, and you're wasting your whole life in no way, and one day you're gonna end up looking back and saying, really, this is all I got is money? Guess what? Ain't nobody stuffing it in your casket. Put me in your will, I'll take it when you're dead at 50. Come on now. Money's not a problem. The love of money is, the fixation of it. We all got to have it to pay our bills and live and put food on the table and put a roof over it. So there are some things. But when you get fixated on it, it becomes your God. So these things are not necessarily the problem. Alcohol is not your problem. Drugs really isn't your problem.
That's right.
All of those wounds really isn't your problem. Your problem is you got one massive hole that you have tried to...
You ever been in a doctor's office? This is where I see them most. They got these little round octagon type balls, and they got these little squares and triangles and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you see a little kid take those, he'll take this triangle and try to stuff it in a circle. He can't do it.
Yeah.
And that's like some of us. We're little two-year-olds, we're trying to take, we got this big void inside of our heart that we're trying to get filled, and we're trying to stuff a triangle in a circle. And it just won't work. That triangle may be alcohol. That triangle may be a relationship. That triangle may be all kinds of things. And it just doesn't fit that hole that's designed for only one thing.
And that's Jesus.
That's right.
And that's Jesus.
Yes.
And that's Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. It's designed. There's a hole that you can stuff all kinds of things into it. But there's no way. There's absolutely no way you can stuff anything else inside of that emptiness that's going to bring fulfillment in your life. Would you stand? I'm not really done with my notes, but I feel like I'm going to tell you today that He has come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I choose abundant life. I choose that life in Jesus Christ. Today is what is known across the world as Pentecost Sunday. And there's a lot of religions today celebrating it. Pentecost Sunday with all kinds of religious
antics, traditionalism. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be negative. And I turned to Brother Josh today and I said, do you know what today is?
Sunday. Duh.
I
said, no, today's Pentecost Sunday. He's like, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, I didn't really think about it either. But you know why I really didn't think about it being Pentecost Sunday and it being a necessarily a specific religious holiday? Because every day's Pentecost Sunday. Every day's Pentecost Sunday for me because Acts chapter 1. Number 8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Yes, while you are trying to figure it all out and trying to make it all happen in your life, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Do you realize today that healing and some of these other things of being able to see and being able to walk and all those different things, those are good and they're wonderful and they're miraculous and that they're awesome things that should happen. But there's nothing quite as great as the gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for raising me up in so many instances. I ain't got enough time to tell and talk about it all. But in many times, in God. Now I'll tell you one. I almost died of carbon monoxide poisoning one day. I was out cutting firewood, me and another friend, and we got stuck. And we're stuck on that rear wheel, that the whole back end had sunk. And I got out with a shovel on the side with the exhaust, and we didn't shut the engine off. And so I'm digging, huffing exhaust. I'm digging and huffing exhaust, and not on purpose. So, I didn't even think about it. And all of a sudden, I went right over. I was just, and Matt Button came running around the other side because he'd said something to me. And he came running around the other side, and he starts screaming at me and shaking me. He said, you scared me to death. I thought you was dead. I said, I don't know if it was or not, but man, that was a bad deal. You know what he did? He said, well, he said, I knew that the Bible said anoint them with oil. He said, we didn't have any oil that we used in church. He said, but we had chainsaw bar oil. And that's why I had this stuff dripping off of my forehead. He said, sorry, man. He said, that's the only thing I knew to do. I was just going to pray. He said, I thought you was dead.
Tell you what, whether I was dead or not dead or trying to get some oxygen, just passed out, whatever happened, I'm going to tell you, there was a young man that believed in the Word of God. If I anoint with oil, he's going to recover, going to save him, he's going to raise up. I'm going to tell you, oh, now that's a little bit of a funny one. I can tell you some more serious one, but I ain't going to do it. I'm just telling you that God is a God of His Word. If you'll just believe Him, you'll trust Him. And I know, okay, I'll try to be serious. There's some of us that really, you don't know that Jesus is really real. Because you heard this and you heard that, and this didn't work out, and that didn't work out, and all these things. Maybe you're even here this morning and you're listening to this crazy maniac preach. And you're wondering, is this really real? Is this really real? Well, it can be real for you. And it's real simple. Not a lot of fanfare, not a lot of big stuff. Really, it just takes a little bit of faith. Takes a little bit of faith and a little bit of honesty. And just believing in God's word that God, you said that you wanted to fill me with your spirit. You said that you would give me power after that the Holy Ghost would come upon me. I don't understand. And I'm preaching to somebody right now. You may not understand. I wasn't talking about Holy Ghost. I mean, all the ghost I knew was in the graveyard. The Holy Spirit of God. He said He would come in and reside in you. And so those people that teach of a God somewhere way out there in the universe that you might, if you yell loud enough, He might be able to hear you. Said, no, I don't do it like that. I want to live on the inside of you through my Spirit. And today, He wants to pour out His Spirit upon each and every one of us. It's pretty simple. God, Your Word said it. Your Word said that You want to fill me with Your Spirit. I may not understand all this stuff, but I do know where I'm at in life. And my life is crazy. It's messed up. I'm undone. I don't know what to do. I'm hurting. You said in Your Word that You would bind up my brokenness. Now, God, here I am. I need You to fix me.
Yes.
That sounds too simple. No, it's really not. You see, God's not complicated as much as we want to make Him out to be complicated. You mean I don't have to say some certain prayer, blah, blah, blah? No, that's why you got to be just honest. That's why you just got to be honest. God, I'm a mess. Now, you say however you're going to say it. Forgive me. The scripture said, ask for forgiveness. God, I've messed up my life. I don't know what to do. I need You. I want You. Help me. He'll do it. He'll do it for you as every eye is closed. Jesus is your answer today. Jesus is better.
Yes.
There's nobody like Him.
Yes.
And while you're struggling right now and you're feeling the emotion, and you're, what you're feeling right now is God. Somebody help me pray. What you're feeling right now is God Almighty. He's reaching to you in your situation.
But how can He care about me when I'm such a mess? How can He love me when I've done this and I've done that?
I'm going to tell you, He loves you because His word said that He loves you. You haven't gone too far. So if the enemy's sitting there telling you right now, you've gone too far, you've messed up, you've done too much, it'll never happen for you, I'm telling you right now, he's a liar. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you to be victorious. He wants you to stay bound. He wants you to continue to be miserable. But I'm telling you, Jesus is in the house right now, and he can deliver you. Do you want deliverance? Do you want healing? Do you want salvation? Do you want God just to touch you in your situation? Would you make your way to the front of this altar? Just, and you don't need to kneel down, just stand. Just stand. What I want you to do is I want you to lift up your hands towards Him. And I want you to talk to God just like I'm talking to you right now. Just talk to Him. God, you see everything. You know everything. There's nothing hidden from you. You even know the thoughts and the intents of my heart. You see all the garbage that's going around in my cranium right now and bouncing off everything. And I'm asking the question, even as this preacher's preached, is Jesus really as real as that preacher's saying he is? Is there really something more to life than what I'm living? God, I don't know, but if there is, would you touch me right now? Come on, somebody help me pray. Somebody help me pray in Jesus' name. It's not by our works, it's not by our righteousness, but Jesus saved some of you today. Jesus has turned some of your lives around in a miraculous way. You may have been somewhere just praying a simple prayer when Jesus came to your life, and that's where some are right now. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Come on, I don't care where you're at. I don't care how long you say you've been living for God or not living for God, how much you've done wrong or how much you've done right. Every one of us, there's a question being posed to us. Is Jesus better? Maybe you've been living for God for a long time, but you're still struggling with that question like John was. Hey, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. Come on, somebody, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Help us today. Help us today. Come on. That's it. Maybe where it's appropriate, reach across the aisle and tonight put your